What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 1st, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the best blue eyes in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
Let Tim host. Where did I get that new moniker?
You, of course, got your new moniker, Tim, during Kinda Funny's Halloween Hellscape, available now in HD on youtube.com/kindafunnygames. Go see Cool Greg lose to his own brother in a match of his choosing.
Yeah, go check it out. We all worked very hard on this, the Halloween Hellscape together, making a super fun WWE pay-per-view style Let's Play event. I don't even know the right way to call it, but a lot of fun. Special cameos abound.
Right, Xavier and, Woods is there, Dan Reichert's
just
there.
Just a fun energy, man. I feel like we did a really good job hitting the level that we needed to of it being one of the most kind of funny products I think we've ever made.
Yeah.
Where it is like simultaneously the best and worst thing ever. You know, not,
I don't think
it's, you know,
the,
I mean,
worst, yeah.
I don't know. In a lot of ways, it's like, wow, what are we doing?
It's us being goons for sure. Yeah. Yeah, it was from, you know, the Patreon stuff in January, right? One of the milestones we hit was to make a world championship pay-per-view. And so we sat on that for a long time thinking about what that should be. And I'm really happy with what we came
really,
up
really
with.
Really, really happy. And that wasn't all that went up yesterday, though.
What,
Greg,
was that? What else went up?
The Kinda Funny Games cast went live midnight today. That is the review of Death Stranding, and we decided to put this one out for everybody, Patreon and non-Patreon. Patreon still get it ad-free.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to hit that embargo, because the discussion is hot on this one.
It is very hot, and we'll be talking about that today, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday in a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindafunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record the show live, twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you today. Extra Life is tomorrow. Can you believe it? The annual event we do raising money for the Children's Miracle Network is upon us. That means today we will do this show, Kinda Funny Games Daily. Then we will do the in-review for Terminator Dark Fate. And then twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We'll switch over to community hosting. Everybody who's on Team Extra Life is signed up. There will be a bunch of different community members out there streaming until we go live tomorrow, Saturday, 10 a.m. Pacific time on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames and stream shenanigans for 24 hours.
Wow.
Boss Baby Barrett says he's going to make it the whole time. Will he?
Never has.
he always says he. People always talk big.
I stay here the entire time, I'll say that. Yeah. Do I fall asleep for an hour or two every time? Yeah.
I don't. You shouldn't be shamed for sleeping. You know what I mean?
Right.
You get a better performance. I remember that one year when I was here. I think I went home and napped, and I came back, and I was here. And that's when they put a carrot in Joey's wine, and she almost punched Andy in the face. Like, you don't want that. She wouldn't do that normally. God. But she was pushed to the brink of madness because of this 24 hours of games.
And because we put a carrot in her wine.
Also true. You should come watch twitch.tv/kindafunnygames tomorrow. You should donate or join the team, kindafunny.com/extralife. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Escape the Invasion and Quip, but I'll tell you about that later instead. Let's start the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Four items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
Can you imagine drinking wine and then hitting a carrot?
And not only that.
And not knowing it's a carrot.
Imagine all that happening, I think, at 4 in the morning when you're bleary-eyed and you've been awake nonstop, you know?
Oh, man. It was such a good moment.
Because Joey likes carrots and she likes wine, but it turns out she does not like them together.
Who would have thought?
You can watch that moment on youtube.com/kindafunny, the 2017 Extra Life documentary.
Right? Yeah, it's a rough one. Number one on the Roper Report, we're jumping into the deep end right away. The Death Stranding review embargo, as Tim said, is up. We have your review roundup right now, and I should say as of 9:26 a.m., about 30 minutes ago, right?
Real quick, though, one last thing I want to say about our review on the Games Cast, the Kinda Funny Games Cast, episode 245. Yeah. Go listen to it. It's
where
special.
Is that available?
It's on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or podcast services around the globe.
Man, you do Rooster Teeth 30 like that, huh?
And Rooster Teeth 2 and other places. So the key thing, though, is that it's many people on this show. We have me, we have Kevin chiming in, we have you, we have Imran, we have Fran, and we have Andy Cortez. All people that played various levels of the game.
Correct.
So it's a good discussion.
Spoiler-free as well, too.
Many, spoiler-free, many different points of view. So
I'm really proud of it. I think it's a really well done thing. I'd love to. I know I saw people on our subreddit talking about they'd love to see more of that. We'd all love to see more of that. It's just rare, I think, that a game comes around that is that deserving. And I don't mean that, I mean in that way. That sounds really worse. I guess it's not. That's so much work to take away from it, from all five of us, seven of us, or whatever you want it to be, whoever's going to talk, that it can only be for the biggest stuff because it's going to require the most
I have
mana.
A feeling it's going to happen again soon, though.
Yeah, I agree. I think Fallen Order. Anyways, Death Stranding review embargo is up. You should watch ours. Spoiler free. Vary levels of how much people have played and how much people like or hate it. The Metacritic right now is an 84. That's as of 9:30 a.m. Let me give you. In the Gamescast review, right, we go through it. I remember I said 82. Price is Right rules without going over. I can't remember if Kevin said 84 or 85. That's what I need to find out from somebody. Everybody's pulling it up. Everybody's looking into it on their own documents. I'll get into it. I have three selects here. Here we go. So for the Kind of Funny review, I'm sitting pretty right now. So the Price is Right rules, we said on the Gamescast review, this doesn't work until next Thursday when we record again. But Andy said Metacritic was going to be 72. Kevin said Metacritic's going to be 78. I said Metacritic's going to be 82. Fran said 85. Tim said 87. Imran said 89. Right now, it's mine to lose. Will I? Find out next week.
We'll have to find out.
Or just keep those numbers in your head, and you'll figure it out on your own. Anyways, GameSpot gave it a 9.0. Cali Plague over there said, Death Stranding is a hard game to absorb. There are many intertwining threads to its plot and silly names, corny moments, and heavy explosion and otherwise very exposition. Simple message.
Heavy exposition.
Thank you. That's way better. That comes... I got to get bigger. I just got to suck it up and make the typeface bigger. Yeah. I'm at 12 now. It's time to go to 14. I'm old. My peepers can't do it on the run anymore. That comes through much more clearly in the game's more mundane moments when you find a desperately needed ladder left behind by another player or receive a letter from an NPC thanking you for your efforts. It's positive without ignoring pain. In fact, it argues in both its story and its gameplay that adversity itself is what makes things worth doing and life worth living. It's a game that requires patience, compassion, and love, and it's also one we really need right now. Game Informer's Matthew Cato gave it a 7. Try as it might, Death Stranding's story doesn't shore up its faults.
There's a lot of beaches in this game.
Yeah. Well, it's also not the right shore. It doesn't matter. It's the normal...
It's not the right strand. It's not the right beach. It's not the right death.
It's the normal Kojima mix of twists and turns, tropes, and overbearing themes. But at least I like that it explores real-world topics like the theory of multiple dimensions and key events in the history of the planet's biodiversity. Like Sam himself, I often wasn't sure why I kept going in Death Stranding. Maybe there was a little bit of pride in another task checked off the list, another job done. Unfortunately, this added up to little reward in the end.
At least I can explore real-world topics like multiple dimensions.
Hey, man, that's a real-world topic I'm talking about.
Okay, cool. The theory of multiple dimensions is definitely a real-world topic. So is the theory of superheroes.
I don't like your tone theories. Today.
Hey, right. I'm just saying, man.
You're coming in a little too loosey-goosey this Friday, all right, sir?
I don't know about that. Goose me up, dude. Gooses are hot this year.
They are really hot. Did you see all the Halloween costumes?
Hong Kong.
And then IGN gave it a 6.8. Tristan over there wrote, certain landmark games in recent years, like The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, and Red Dead Redemption 2, have managed to successfully tread the line between the rigidity of realism and the exhilaration of pure escapism. But much like its stumbling protagonist, Death Stranding just can't consistently get the balance right, despite processing equally lofty ambitions and countless inventive ideas. There is a fascinating, fleshed-out world of supernatural science fiction to enjoy across its sprawling and spectacular map. So it's a real shame that it's all been saddled on a gameplay backbone that struggles to adequately support its weight over the full course of the journey. It's fitting that Kojima Productions' latest is so preoccupied with social media-inspired praise because in some ways I did like Death Stranding. I just didn't ever love it. That's a great last two sentences from Tristan on that one. Tim, surprised?
I can't say that I am.
Yeah.
I also don't think that these are as divisive as I thought they were going to be. I thought it was going to be a bit more split between tens and threes. You know?
Gotcha. And like, there are tens out there. Six axes.
Nines and tens. Okay. Like, more similar to the GameSpot side of things than what we're seeing here. The IGN 6.8, that to me seems, that being the low one, I would say the big low one, that it looks like it's an outlier, that to me is the biggest surprise. That seems like an outlier. Like, yeah. It doesn't seem like people really hate the game. And it seems like a lot of people do really love the game. But there are some people that are just kind of like, it's fine. Which I didn't think this game was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
To anyone.
I think it's that's what people, as you look through these reviews, wrestling with it. And, like, again, there are a lot of 9s and 10s on there, right? Obviously, I'm picky and choosy when I come through. But Push Square gave it a 10, obviously, according to Metacritic. Daily Star gave it a 10. IGN Italia gave it a 9.8. It goes on like that. I'm going to scroll all the way to the bottom here, right? Then... yeah, most are all... the lowest, it looks like, is the 60s you got here from VGC. Stevie Orr, he has a 35, but...
yeah.
That's not... I don't know who these people are. Yeah. I think it's that wrestling with the fact of people getting into it, wrestling with they don't like the gameplay, but they like the world, or they don't like the story, but they like the world, or that there's so many different elements to the game that I can understand looking at it and being like, how do you rate this? What do you do with it? Threes, I mean... there's always an argument to be made that the review scales in video game reviewing isn't used enough, right? Like, it isn't actually used. But I don't think a 3 would be right, right? If the game is beautiful and works. For me, when you drop below a 5 is when, like, I'm falling through the earth. Or this just doesn't control or move the way it should.
Yeah. So, okay, 3, again, might be oversimplifying this. Like, I'm saying the more under 5 level, where it's like, we're going to make a statement with our review of this game is bad. That's what I'm saying. Because, like, seeing IGN, being at IGN for so long and seeing how people review things, that is the, hey, like, there are problems with this. And I thought that's what this would be, where it's like kind of a empty promise at the end of the day of people playing this game being like, this, no. Like, we can't give this game good reviews just because it came from the guy that made Metal Gear.
Yeah.
Going full him, right?
Sure.
And I'm that's not going to vibe with everybody.
Sure.
It's going to vibe with a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, that's the thing is I feel like I could count on this getting great reviews from a ton of people.
Yeah.
Easy. No matter what. Sight unseen, just knowing that.
Yeah.
But I am surprised that we're seeing some things like even the 6.8, where it's like, okay, cool. There's a game in there. You know? Like, a solid game.
Was that on purpose or not? I can't tell if that was on purpose. Okay, my apologies. Yeah. Of course, our review's up. I really, really liked it. Tim, you stopped playing it. You didn't like it. You don't plan
about,
on
about
back.
5 hours in. It's just like it. I found out what this. I knew what this game could be.
Yeah.
And it, for me, it was one of those two paths, and it is the latter path.
Yeah.
I would give this game under a 5 based on what I played. Would never give a fucking game a score without beating it. But it's one of those things. I'm like, I know this isn't for me. And like, there's enough things that I'm like, not only do I know it's not for me, like, I think there's a lot of stuff in mind. This is not good.
Interesting. Well, let's get into some questions here, of course. Borzin00 writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Greg and Tim. Death Stranding reviews are out, and while it is mostly positive, parentheses, I would call it a plus 80 or an 80 plus on Metacritic and OpenCritic mostly positive. However, there seems to be a celebration on the negative side that the game is exactly what people thought it was, a delivery game made by Hideo Kojima. A specific review from a major reviewer is being touted as being the specific reason why this is a bad game, and without anybody else besides reviewers playing the game, people are almost celebrating the fact that a game that maybe never spoke to them is bad and using the said review to say, see, you should not play this game because it is bad. My question is, how should we respond to people who are acting like this as our mission as Kinda Funny Best Friends to be better? It's like any other time, you just don't.
Don't, yeah.
They're just trolling. If the reviews are out there for you to make up your own mind and go through and see. Again, that's what I was so excited about when I was playing this, and I'm like, oh man, this is Red Dead again, where this is a work of art. What are people going to see in it? What are people going to like about it? What are they going to hate about it? And how are they going to, you know, personally filter all that information? The fact that you have GameSpot giving it a 9 and IGN giving it a 6.8, and both of those sites having great, fleshed out, well written reviews as to why they feel that way, that is awesome. I love that. I love it when you get to go in there and be like, who am I more like? What, they're complaining about this. Do I like that or not like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I've had so many people with what I've said about it in our review and what I said about Red Dead 2 in Red Dead 2 reviews last year being like, well, I agreed with Greg about not enjoying Red Dead 2 for certain reasons. Mm. Are those the reasons does he enjoy this because of X, Y, and Z? Trying to figure it all out, like, put together this puzzle for yourself to understand if you think it's going to be interesting, if it's going to be something for you is really cool.
It definitely is, and that's what this game set out to be.
Yeah.
This game set out to be something that makes you think and it, you know, to be art and to be this thing that is not just a video game. It's more than a video game. It's about connecting people. And I feel like if anything, like the discussions happening did that successfully.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So it's like, and they're going to continue to do that for at least a year to come. I think the time will tell, like, what this game actually does in the pantheon of video games. Like, yeah. I feel like if this gets turned into a franchise, I think that the kind of meaning behind the game right now will go away, because I do think that it'll turn into more of a traditional game series, and yeah. people aren't going to look at this as, like, a super different thing that happened. They're just going to be like, oh, yeah, that was the start of Death Stranding. But that's why
I hope it doesn't. I really do. We talked about this in the review to end it yesterday, but like, thinking even more about it, I really do hope that this is it. This is what the story I wanted to tell. Here it is. It's this weird little movie I made. You know, like,
it's
this,
not a little movie.
You know what I mean? This is this weird little game I've made. And here's what I wanted to say with it. I've said it. And, like, yeah, because I think it would be weird to, based on what that world is, and there's more stories to tell in there, but to come back to it and flesh it out more and then have it be like, oh, okay, this was like Assassin's Creed 1, where it was like, you got to Assassin's Creed 2, you're like, oh man, they improved X, Y, and Z, that's great. Whereas, like, you know, there was a long conversation yesterday in our review on Gamescast where Fran was like, was this on purpose that they left this, that, and the other? And, like, yes, that is 100% on purpose that they did that.
That's, like, frustrating. But it's the design, it's the goal. But yeah. Should that be the goal in a video game? So many discussion
exactly.
points
yeah,
to
yeah,
come
exactly.
from this.
Oh, the discourse. Yeah.
That's the thing that's weird to me. Is, like, we're at a point with video games that, you know, they can be so many different things, and it's been that way for a long time. So the fact that this game can exist at the level that it does with the polish that it has and the budget behind it, that alone is impressive. Is it the best use of that polish and budget and time and resources and all this stuff? I don't know. But even just look at the PlayStation side of it, that PlayStation is pushing this as their big fall game for near the end of its PlayStation 4 life cycle. Like, that, we give PlayStation a lot of shit for, you know, not being as creative as it was.
Not being as weird as it was, yeah.
And, like, this is the weirdest thing they've ever done on this scale by far.
True.
You know,
yeah,
and, like, it's committing to a vision. And sure, it's committing to one of the most renowned, you know, developers of all time, or designers of all time,
right,
like, with his new team, but that's still ballsy, and that still should be commended in some form, even if it didn't vibe with me.
Yeah, oh no, totally, and that's, you know, exactly what I talked about in the show yesterday, right, that it's interesting to be on this side of it after last year being on the other side of it and being like, I don't like Red Dead. It is a work of art. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad they made their vision, all these different things. It's just not for me. And that doesn't mean that it's a bad game. It just means it's not a game for me. Mm-hmm. Instead of be on this side now, where this one totally vibes with me, and have, like, you and Imran be like, oof, not for us. It's interesting to have those conversations. And I think, you know, to steal Imran's classic lines of, like, you're not wrong. Like, you're saying these things, and I understand why it resonates that way for you. Like, it was that one we were talking about, The Outer Worlds, where he's like, I can't argue with you. Like, you're right about these points. It's just, I don't see them from that lens. I don't take it that way.
Yeah.
The nanobiologist wrote in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey Greg and Tim, every Death Stranding review is out, and this game is clearly this year's Red Dead Redemption 2 with its divisiveness. But overall, chat that this is a game of the generation. But is being divisive in this way okay, and a fantastic sign that this is a new example of what the games industry can offer? What I mean is, naturally people are mad about the divisiveness of the game and how their high expectations of it being being brought down by low review scores. But even some people that were excited ended up not liking it at all, but can still recognize that the game brings. And the gameplay that's not combat focused, but brings what sounds like an amazing story to the table in a very beautiful way. Is this the new game that when people talk about what gaming is or can be and what they will do for the world, they'll present this as evidence?
No. There's a lot of questions in there and a lot, but that last bit, like, no, this will not be the evidence, because you don't want to, an example of what video games can be should not be the thing that's divisive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It should be something that, like, God of War, I think, is a better example.
I was going to say, this is what Andy talked about.
Yeah.
Andy talked about it in the review. Right. And I agree with him too, of, like, he's loving this game. He's enjoying this game. And he's put some, like, I think it was 47 hours into it he was talking
40,
about, right? And
40 hours, yeah.
He's only into chapter 3 or whatever. Yeah, like, he's really taking his time with this game to do everything, which is how I wanted to play it if it hadn't been the embargo. I understand exactly what he means when he's like, this isn't a game he would give out as a blanket to anybody of, like, hey, you want to see what, you love games? You have to play this, right?
Yeah.
No, it's like, hey, that would be God of War. When you're talking about game of the year, game of the generation, something like that.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but other conversations that I've had with Andy that were similar to that. Mm. Like, I think not only is it that he wouldn't recommend it,
blanket recommendation.
Blanket is that he wouldn't recommend it to anybody. Like, he wouldn't recommend it to them unless they were very specific people like, hey, you'd like this. It's like, he knows he'd like it because he's a weird little dude.
Sure.
You know what I mean? He's a weird little dude. But it's like, that is a very different kind of idea, right? Yeah. Where God of War is this thing of like, look, this is what video games can be.
Sure.
Going back to nanobiologists here, is being divisive in this way okay and a fantastic sign that this is a new example of what games industry can offer? Is it okay? Absolutely. Is this a fantastic sign of what the games industry can offer? I don't necessarily think the answer is yes. It's also not no. Mm. Like, it reminds me of, this is going to bring in a lot of shit, but Last Jedi with the reviews of that coming out, of like what that did. That, no matter what way you look at it, caused a lot of issues with Star Wars. And with Hollywood, were those issues good at the end of the day? Bad at the end of the day? I don't know.
Yeah.
But the fatigue of Star Wars, like the production, like the studios and how everything fell apart and how everything kind of like turned, the conversation turned sour really quickly. Regardless of the quality of the movie, regardless of whether you liked it for the valid, you're not wrong. Going back to the you're not wrong thing, whether you loved it, whether you hated it, I don't think anybody can argue that the discussion was bad and continued to be bad. I'm interested to see if that happens with this. I don't think that it will, because I don't think that Death Stranding is that divisive. And I don't think that it I think that a lot of people went into this, even the Metal Gear fans, knowing that they weren't going to get that out of this.
Knowing they weren't going to get what?
Metal Gear.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas
people went into
Last Jedi expecting Star Wars, right?
I see what you're saying.
The people that expected Luke Skywalker to come in and like mow motherfuckers down with a green lightsaber didn't get that. Whereas I think that the people, myself included, going into this being like, man, I would love just Metal Gear style gameplay and story more than anything in this game. Going in, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to get that. And then when I saw I'm not getting that, I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But I think that kind of like you already are going into it with a different type of mentality. And that's why I think that it's not going to be divisive in the same way as these like giant tentpole things that are examples of like what things can be.
Gotcha. See, I think his question here, is it a fantastic sign that this is a new example of what the games industry can offer? Fantastic is a bit too much hyperbole for me. I think it's a great sign of what we could offer. I think it's a good sign. It's definitely a good sign of what we could offer. I love, I was talking about it in the review as well, the silly putty, right, of pulling it in every direction. I like that PlayStation was like, here is millions of dollars to make a triple A weird as shit fucking game. And so many people are on board with it, both, I'm talking about fans, obviously, gaming gamers, and then like Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen, like, because it's like, yeah, okay, cool, Hideo Kojima wants to do something weird, let's go. I gotta hold this baby, I gotta have invisible people walking on me, I got it, I get it.
Yeah, but then there's the other side of that, though, where it's like, cool, they're saying that, but are they gonna play this game?
No.
Absolutely not, you know? And it's like, not that they need to, but it's just like, there's just,
but I like it. I like it because I like that there, wherever, for movies, whatever weird movie I want to watch, there's going to be, I can find that. Whatever weird mood I'm in for a weird movie, I can find that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter that you'd never want to go watch whatever weird indie zombie movie I want to go watch, but the fact that I do and there is a avenue for it, that's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's just, again, like, when the budget gets put behind it and when the power and the resources,
dollars and cents in business, this, the business like, realities,
like that's sometimes the indie things don't necessarily deserve that big of a push, you know, in place of other things, which is definitely the case here when you're looking at PlayStation and how much money would be put behind something like this. But
it's also, we'll see how it does, right?
And
right?
Absolutely. And
because I'm saying we're throwing around indie because it's what Kojima Productions is technically indie, and when you think of like a weird indie movie director, you'd think of Hideo Kojima, even though he's making video game blockbusters and things.
I mean, that's the thing that, like, I'm saying indie is indie art, independent, like, indie vibe of art, not independent developer.
Just making sure we're on the same page. Just making sure we're on the same page.
There, because Kojima, I would not think of him as a indie movie director. I would think of him as a big budget Hollywood movie director. He just has weird tendencies.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the difference. And it's like, until his game stop making a shit ton of money to support that, he's in the right.
Do whatever the hell he wants.
Right? And that's where this game, I'm so interested to see where the sales come in, because, you know, people like Kojima. Like, video gamers like Kojima.
Yeah.
Outside of that, do they like Kojima? Do they like Metal Gear? you know? Mm. And I think that we'll see soon, because I wonder what Sony's thinking about these reviews. I know that they know that they knew going into this that it wasn't going to be
they
tens
were
across the
totally
board.
Totally ready for this.
They
yeah.
understand. And yeah, I think that more so than any other game, they're looking at this and like, you know how we've always heard about the like bonuses attached to like hitting certain Metacritics, or
sure.
like not even bonuses, just like the success.
Incentives.
Like, incentives, yeah. or like, is the sequel going to happen? Or like, you know, just their value of success is based on the Metacritic in a lot of ways. I think that this game probably doesn't have that. Like, I'm sure that they just had to think of like, hey, man, if we just get a couple nines, we're going to be pretty damn stoked about it. And yeah. I think that that is a fantastic sign. I'm just making that up and thinking it. But, like, you got to assume that's the case. Based on how Sony PR has talked to us about this game, like, I feel like they knew going in.
Oh, but, totally.
And that's good. I think that it is important, too, if you're going to do something really fucking weird, set the expectations correctly, not from sales perspective, not from whatever, just from like, are people going to like this? Is this, was this a good idea?
Yeah.
And I think they're seeing that it was for them. We'll see when users get it in their hands and are playing.
I mean, again, like, I know it sounds weird and reductive, but the fact that, like, I was, you know, at a bar the other night and I looked over and they were running a Death Stranding commercial, right? And it was like prominently featuring Norman Reedus. It's like, that's going to speak to mainstream people as well. Like, and it is a weird thing that even for, I think of when I was in high school and I was playing Metal Gear Solid for the first time and really fell in love with it and talking to my friends about it, my, you know, jock friend who didn't really play that many games and definitely didn't read EGM and definitely didn't, he knew who Hideo Kojima was before I did, really. When I was like learning about Metal Gear, and he's like, oh my god, I played it all the time, and you know, the guy does this, and when it goes to the black screen and says it, and it looks like you got on your input, that's actually his name. And I was like, holy shit, like, that still speaks to a lot of people. And so mm-hmm. it's going to be really fascinating to see, removed from even the people who read reviews, of what it actually looks like when they get out there and what they think about when they see this and what mainstream gamers are going to do.
Especially with the PS4, with the install base that it does now. Yeah. You know, a couple days ago they were talking about it now being the
second best-selling home console
of all time. Yeah. Like, that means that, you know, everyone that wants to play this game is going to be able to.
Yeah.
That's really impressive. And then next year with PC, even more everyone will.
Where do you think it's going to show up on, I guess, is it, well, where do you think it'll be on NPD?
Fuck.
For November. It's launching
November.
Yeah, because it's this. Yeah, you figure Star Wars is going to be out there ready to eat this launch?
Yeah, and then Call of Duty will have
still
its,
be
like,
going. Yeah. Still be going. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think it makes top five?
I don't think it does.
Yeah. I know, right?
Really? Dude, Pokemon.
I know, right?
Pokemon, man.
Pokemon is this month?
November, yeah, dude.
Jesus.
Yeah, it doesn't make
Christ.
Top five. Because especially if you count Sword and Shield separately.
Oh, and they will. and yeah, it's gonna be Call of Duty, maybe Pokemon, then Jedi.
I was gonna say, and remember, Jedi's on everything.
Yeah.
So oh that yeah, that's a good point.
Digital sales won't count though, right? Depending on where they are.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's a tough one.
Yeah, Jedi is the one where I'm. That could be anywhere for me.
Jedi's like, gonna sell. I'm pretty confident
in
it.
Okay. Wow.
Anthony writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, how important was Norman Reedus peeing in Death Stranding? You guys didn't even bring it up in the review, and it has a whole trailer for the game. It's not. It's not. Like, you do it, and like, you can, you know, do things to the BTs with it, pretty much, but it's not important. Don't worry about it. Drew wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, excited for that. Excited for all of the polarizing chat about Death Stranding, but let's not lose sight of the most important aspect. How's the trophy list, Greg? Thanks. Trophy list is good. I'm not going to say it's an easy platinum, obviously, because there's a ton of stuff to do in it, but when I was looking through it, I didn't see any difficulty stuff, like do this, you know what I mean, like playing on hard. I definitely didn't see, like, you know, S rank every mission or anything like that. However, it's the normal problem that's very annoying for a pre-release game where, since the trophies aren't live on PlayStation, and this is a game that I'm always connected to the internet on, if I went into my trophy list, of course, it wouldn't be there. I'd have to wait for a trophy to pop and then do it, or go into my online settings, disconnect from the network, go look at them there. Then, of course, I played it on two different systems, so my trophy list is split. So after I completed it, I'm still not sure how many I have open and what I need to do, but I was going to take a gander this weekend and start playing. But then again, it's Extra Life, so I can't really gander at anything. Joshua asks, I've been gaming on PC and a base PS4. I'd rather play Death Stranding on PC. Do you think I could avoid spoilers until it comes out next year, or should I just play it on PS4? I don't think you can avoid spoilers.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's like,
here's a question for you, Greg, that I should have asked in the review yesterday. Are there things to spoil?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's why I was like so adamant. I don't think people should watch that launch trailer. Where I'm like, those are moments in, there's moments in the launch trailer I don't think should be spoiled. And revelations in the launch trailer I don't think should be spoiled. Because when I was playing through it, there's things that are revealed and stuff. I think it wouldn't, there's not like the, you know, a whodunit at the end kind of thing. Like you want, that's like the big reveal. But there is, you are building to a question and you do question yourself, I think, as you go a long time. But I don't think you'd be able to, and I don't think it's going to be like, you know, Dumbledore dies in the comments or anything like that. Like people are going to be shouting things out about Norman Reedus, but I do think you'll run into it. I do think, you know, eventually when the game's out, you're going to see things on the internet and people making fun of things or using GIFs or doing all sorts of stuff. I showed you one today that I want to GIF out, and it's like...
Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah.
BJ Bernard gets the final question here on Death Stranding and says, hi, y'all. I've asked this question on KFGD before, but it was with those hacks at OK Beast when they did their show. Reading and listening to reviews for Death Stranding, I find myself interested in the story / narrative. I love stories in video games, and it's why I fell in love with them. Do you think we are living in the best time for storytelling in video games? How does the story of Death Stranding match up with some of your favorites? Are you interested in stories in video games coming up soon? Are we living in the best time for storytelling in video games right now, Tim Geddes?
Here's my very real and very negative sounding take.
Here we fucking go.
Unfortunately, we are.
Yeah.
And I say that as, like, I wish that we were even in a better place currently.
Sure, okay. Sure.
I think that just naturally games have moved towards a more narrative experience in a way that they're allowed to and be backed up by voice acting and by, you know, proper writers, not just, oh, hey, write a story guy that's also, you know, coding
programmer,
the game or
whatever. Yeah.
So because of all of that, we are moving towards that. However, I would say that so many of the best stories in video games were, I would say even like Metal Gear Solid was a great one. And that was a very long time ago. And I feel it requires visionaries to be able to make these moments happen. And I think that once those visionaries keep going, you run out of ideas eventually, or things just get crazy and convoluted and snaky and didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, you did. I did.
I swear to God, I didn't. But I think that video games have a very long way until they're pumping out good story after good story. I think there are very few examples of great stories in video games. And I think that upsets people when I say that because they want to defend the thing that they love so much. But it's very rare that I think the story and gameplay elements back each other up, which makes the story uniquely video game. Otherwise, I'm going to compare these movie-like games to movies, and we don't get that many stories that I think can compare to the best movies, even if they are the best stories in games, right?
Mm, yeah.
I think Uncharted comes to mind for that. I love the Uncharted games because of their story. Is their story amazing?
Yeah, Emily.
It's not. It's really not when you compare it to movies,
sure.
Right?
Why do you think that happens? I think the problem that you run into a lot, and why I do think we're living in the best time for storytelling in games. I do think it gets better all the time. I do think that there's tons of great examples out there, and I think one of the things that's really helping is how successful indies are right now and how they're not afraid to make a shorter game.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest struggle you have, and I think Death Stranding is an example of it, right? Of, cool, there's a great story here. I fucking floored it for the embargo, right? And it took me 37 hours to get to the end of that story. Like, I remember when Kojima put in he's like, oh, we're putting in a very easy mode so that if you just want to see the story, you can. Like, even if, let's say that shaved off 7 hours. A person who's like, oh man, I love Norman Reedus, but I'm not good. Oh, there's a very easy, they're not going to play 30 hours of this game to find out what's happening. Like, I feel like that's where it starts going down.
To twist what I'm saying to make it a bit more clear, what if Death Stranding was a show that came out on Netflix? Would people watch it, the 60 hours it is, right?
Well, no, because the gameplay, you don't want to watch gameplay, with the exception of everybody in the very successful platform.
I'm talking about the story. I'm talking about just
the cutscenes?
I'm not saying literally.
You're not saying literally yank it out.
I'm saying that the story of Death Stranding were a series, and like, just take that for what it is. Just if it were a series.
I can interpret however I want to, yeah.
No, I don't think.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like people, things vibe with somebody out there for sure.
Yeah.
But I think it would just be another Netflix original show that like some people are like, dude, you got to watch this. And most people are like, nah, I gave it. Or some people are like, gave it a shot. I don't like it at all. It wouldn't be special, you know?
Yeah.
And it's special because it's in a video game.
I don't know. It's a weird sci-fi story. I could really see like the encounters with BTs and stuff being, shot really interesting, being really nerve-wracking, trying to work your way through it. Like, as, you know, the protagonist, you're watching the protagonist go through. Yeah. I think you could do something really cool with it.
I think you could do something really cool. I don't think that it would be. Like, I feel like it would just kind of just be another sci-fi story.
Sure.
That is on Netflix right now. You can go watch. You know, and, like, that's the thing is, like, great video game stories. I think Last of Us is an example, right? That is a very great story. Cool. One of the very few. God of War, great story.
Yeah.
You start to, like, lose the fight pretty quickly, I think, though, when you're trying to talk about, like, there's this vast amount of great stories in video games.
I don't agree.
You're talking about AAA stuff. Talking anything. Because I feel like when you get to the smaller indie titles, then it's just there's great ideas. There's like so many awesome bits, but it would be much better served on different levels or to be fleshed out or in other mediums. And I feel like story is such a weird thing, but I'm talking about combining plot, character,
gameplay,
dialogue, and then the gameplay backing all that up into being something special. Like that's to me, a great story in video games.
Okay. I don't agree, but I respect your opinion.
I'm just saying.
Well, that's the thing is, I think that that's what we started to get into then is just like, well, how many does it need to be great? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and how many are we missing because we're just not playing that certain game or doing these certain things?
It's so for me, I look at it differently where it's not like a how many until there is. It's more like I'm disappointed in how many aren't. I'm playing games and I'm just like, this should be better.
You know what? All right, there you go. Yeah, I'm with you now.
That's what it
is.
It's just like I want more games to care more about that and for them to really be meaningful and to be able to be looked at as like, fuck, this story is awesome because it's a video game.
Okay. I understand now. I'm with you now. I'm not as angry as I was anymore. I take back some of my anger. Number two in the Roper Report. Amazon's blocking unauthorized Nintendo products. This is James Batchelor at GamesIndustry.biz. Amazon is clamping down on a number of sellers offering Nintendo products through its marketplace. In an email shared via the Amazon Sellers Forum reveals that anyone listing items produced by the platform holder now need the company's approval before they can continue with these transactions. Quote, if you do not obtain approval to see these products prior to 2019-10/31, your listings for these products will be removed, the email reads. Amazon notes this is part of our ongoing efforts to provide the best possible customer experience, although it's not clear whether this decision has been made by Amazon, Nintendo, or both. GamesIndustry.biz is contacting Nintendo for clarification. The retailer has contacted all sellers that have previously sold affected products, but assured that, quote, there is no penalty associated with the action.
Good.
100% good.
Yeah.
I hate having to double-check stuff like that when I, like, my kickstand on my Switch finally, like, broke. It got caught, and, like, and I was like, crap, I need a new kickstand. So I was looking around, and it was that thing of, like, oh, here's exactly what I need. I was like, wait. And I had to, like, click around the page. I'm like, is this an actual one, or is this some 3D printed thing I'm getting from some person?
And that's the problem is, like, there's a ton of good products out there that are not officially Nintendo that third-party people are making to that are better than the Nintendo ones, whatever. This is clamping down on the people that are trying to trick you into thinking it's the actually official Nintendo stuff. And if those other things are kind of a casualty of that, I think it's worth it because there's just, especially with Nintendo on Amazon, there's just too much bullshit.
Yeah, there's tons of crap on there. So yeah, I thought it was a good move as well, Timothy. Number three on the Roper Report, another Anthem lead has left BioWare. This is Richard Wakeling over at GameSpot. Anthem continues to lose its lead voices as another public-facing figure departs BioWare following the live service game's rocky launch. Chad Robertson, BioWare's head of live service, announced on Twitter that he's leaving the studio after 14 years of service. Star Wars The Old Republic, Anthem, the Austin studio, and BioWare are in good hands. You can expect great things ahead, he said. I'm very excited about the next step of my journey in the game industry and look forward to sharing it that soon. Robertson is the second Anthem lead to depart BioWare following the game's launch after lead producer Ben Irving left the studio back in August. Irving took over Anthem's post-launch plans when the original creatives moved on to other projects, with Robertson seemingly replacing him in August, albeit with no change of title. Back in September, Robertson said the studio was ditching the game's act structure so that BioWare could address some of the core issues people were experiencing, opting instead to release future content as seasonal updates. Fucking Anthem, Tim.
Yeah.
Remember this time last year when we were doing, like, what are you excited for in 2019? People were like, man, Anthem, I can't wait for Anthem. I'm this, that, and that. Maybe Anthem be game of the year. Yeah. We're up in their fucking faces.
Totally.
Yeah, yeah. And this thing, man. How's Anthem going to end?
Slowly.
You think so? This is just going to keep happening, right? People are going to leave the project and they're just going to keep drifting.
I think it's just going to be in the background. It's just, you know, like, I feel that it's only getting brought up when these things happen. It's not being brought up in ways of like, oh man, hey, it's getting better, guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's just not. And I don't think that that's going to happen. I think that EA is in a place where we're seeing them transition to trying to, like, goodwill, at least. Like, yeah. I think the Jedi Fallen Order, hopefully, is as good as I expect it's going to be. And I think that that could be really big for them. Apex Legends being as big as it is for them. Like, I can see them now looking like, okay, hey, these are Respawn projects, but what is Respawn doing right compared to everyone else? Kind of doubling down and being like, all right, guys, let's pump the brakes on this, this, and this, and let's keep doing the things that are working right
now. Yeah, there was a story earlier this week we were talking about, Riot, of like, BioWare is working on a new Dragon Age. BioWare is going back to something as well. Like, they're clearly trying to get them back on track, I think.
Course correct, I think that's the right thing to do, and it sucks for all the people that bought Anthem, but these things are going to happen, and at some point you need to pull the plug, but I don't think that that's now. Like,
yeah,
people are still playing.
I'm still on the Anthem subreddit. I see it go through, people out there getting all their whatever special events and the Cataclysm doing their thing. Yeah. There was one thing where they did update it, and it was like, hey, we did all these quality of life fixes people were pretty stoked about.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of games that blew people's faces, number four, ZeniMax is offering Australian Fallout 76 refunds. This is Hayden Taylor at GamesIndustry.biz. The Australian Competition and Consumer Commission has accepted a court enforceable undertaking that ZeniMax Media likely misled customers. Consumers over their digital rights regarding Fallout 76. Dissatisfied customers began complaining to the ACCC after ZeniMax representatives said they were not entitled to a refund for Fallout 76 despite experiencing various faults with the game. ZeniMax Media, along with its European and Australian subsidiaries, has now accepted that it likely contravened Australian consumer law. Quote, when a consumer buys a product, it comes with automatic consumer guarantees, and retailers must ensure their refunds and return policies do not misrepresent what the Australian consumer law provides, said ACCC Commissioner Sarah Court. Man, imagine being like in the legal industry and your name's Sarah Court.
In the ACCC.
ACCC. When a consumer has purchased a product that has a fault which amounts to a major failure, the Australian consumer law provides them with the right to ask for their choice of either a repair, replacement, or refund. The company will now offer refunds to consumers who contacted them between November 24, 2018 and June 1, 2019. I like how the headline keeps getting thrown around, and it's even the way I put it in, right? Like, oh, ZeniMax is offering Australia. It's like, you're getting forced to.
Yeah.
They're forcing. Yeah. Sarah fucking Court is forcing.
She's there, man. She's out there commissioning it up.
Sarah Court's not going to take any of this shit, all right? Tim, I'm excited to see how Anthem in Fallout 76 fix it or fuck it from here on out.
I'm excited to see Sarah Court fuck shit up in the legal system.
You know what, Sarah Court? Good on you, all right? Yeah. Hold their feet to the fire in Australia and look out for spiders. Mm-hmm. Tim, if I wanted to know what games came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, Race with Ryan on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Citadel Forged with Fire on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Spirit of the North on PlayStation 4. Jalopy on Xbox One. Perseverance on Switch. The Mims Beginning on Switch. Spirit Roots on Switch. Windmill Kings on Switch. The Forbidden Arts on PS4. Cupid's Quest on PS4. Twin Cop on PS4. Rift Raccoon on PC. Promise PC. Carl Boom on PC.
I mean, which one do I pull up, you know?
Like, I'd like to see Rift Raccoon.
Yeah, me too.
On PC.
I don't need to see Carl Boom.
I almost looked up Race with
Carl
Ryan.
Carl Boom.
Dumb little kid game. Rift Raccoon.
Did you just sing the Sonic Boom?
I did,
theme
but I
song?
Said Carl Boom.
I'm surprised you even know that
Carl
song.
Carl Boom.
Proud of you, Greg.
Thank you. So you know what I mean?
Yeah, Sonic.
Here we go. This is Rift Raccoon. Oh, you love platforming.
It's Celeste, but you're a raccoon.
Well, you're using riffs. You know, it's actually really different than Celeste. I'm surprised you would do that because he's rifting around things.
He is.
Celeste, this raccoon.
Oh, what's he doing there?
Jumping on people. Did you see a warp pipe though? Yeah. He found a secret
someone's
warp pipe. In these walls ahead, it would be no problem for you with claws.
He's a bouncy little raccoon.
Looks like Alyssa's game of the year. She loves raccoons.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Good to know. Good to know. What if there was a raccoon in the house?
That's happened before.
Huh.
Yeah.
What did she do?
She got really excited. I was the one who freaked out.
We got rabies lots of times. You know?
It was like a mom and three kids.
Oh, that's definitely not. You don't definitely don't want that.
Yeah. And then she was like, what if we can keep one? I was like, you think the mom is just going to
pause this right now.
He's doing the best he can.
Open a new tab.
Oh, I'm going to click up. What do you? What's this new tab?
Now, new tab, just type in Celeste. Now go.
Oh, he's.
I want an image search. Okay, that's enough. That's good.
Okay.
Look at this image. Please bring it up.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's look at this image.
Yeah, so we're looking at Celeste, 10 minutes of gameplay at Polygon.
Now look at the other
image. It's in a Celeste like this, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, my God. I can't believe Celeste ripped off Riff Raccoon.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Oh, my God.
They don't give a fuck.
Hey, man. You're making a lot of assumptions here, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
New dates for you. I got none, but instead I got a deal of the day for you. I got the first information on Xbox's Black Friday deals. This is just a sample of our entire Black Friday deals. Tune in via Mixer for a special episode of Inside Xbox Live from XO19. We decided on O, right? That's what I call it. XO19 in London on Thursday, November 14th at noon Pacific time for the full lineup of Xbox Black Friday discounts and offers. First up, we're offering a 50% discount on Sea of Thieves Anniversary Edition, the fastest selling first party new IP of this generation. Join this multiplayer shared world adventure game featuring the modes that you know what the fuck this is. Xbox Live Gold. Fans can also save up to $20 on the select Xbox wireless controllers, including some of the newest controllers in the Xbox collection. Deals are valid starting November 24th and run through December 2nd, 2019. Plus, Black Friday kicks off even earlier for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate and Xbox Live Gold members with early access beginning November 21st. Tim?
Yes.
It's time for reader mail.
You can write
into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Escape the Invasion. Ever wonder what you'd do if you found yourself in the middle of a post-apocalyptic world that has been ravaged by a deadly virus inflicted by aliens? Looking for a unique date or game night that gets you off your devices and truly interacting with each other? You've got to check out this game called Escape the Invasion. It's all about immersive experiences, and they just announced the launch of their new post-apocalyptic theme subscription box. From the makers of Hunt a Killer, the popular true crime mystery subscription game that Jen and Greg play, comes Escape the Invasion, the sci-fi game where you are a survivor on a rapidly dying Earth after an alien invasion. You find refuge in a government bunker, but is it safer than the outside world? Can you trust your fellow survivors? You think you're safe, that you found refuge, but there's a council that creates and controls every aspect of life in the bunker. What will you choose, freedom or safety? With Escape the Invasion, you receive a box of clues, physical items, and evidence each month. It's up to you to piece it all together, solve the mystery, and save humanity. Not everything is as it seems in this challenging game where you must decide who to trust. Your decision will determine the fate of the story, the bunker, and maybe humanity itself. It's been called an escape room delivered to your door where Fallout meets Alien. Escape the Invasion is a great way to get off your phones and connect with other people and your family, friends. But if you want to play alone, you can interact online with the community to swap theories and help others each other out. Right now, our listeners can go to escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. That's escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames for 20% off your first box. Escapetheinvasion.com/KFGames. Can you survive the alien apocalypse? Up next is Quip. We're all using Quip, and it's because it's the best toothbrush out there. But what actually makes a better toothbrush? Industrial strength power, claims of miraculous trendy ingredients, multiple modes? If you ask your dentist, they'll tell you it's less about the brush and more about how you use it. That's why Quip was designed and created with dentists and product designers to focus on what actually matters for your oral health, healthier habits. Quip's sensitive vibrations with a built-in 2-minute timer guide gentle brushing for the dentist recommended 2 minutes with 30-second pulses, ensuring it even clean. Quip automatically delivers brush heads to you every 3 months for clean new bristles right on schedule. The sleek, intuitive design is simple to use and comes with a travel cap that doubles as a mirror mount. These thoughtful features make brushing something you actually want to do every day. True story, my replacement brush heads are in the mail as we speak.
Wow.
Good habits matter to a healthier life, so help form fresh oral health habits with Quip.
Brush it up.
Quip starts at just $25. Brush it up, and you'll get the first refill free at getquip.com/KF. This is a simple way to support the show and start brushing better, but you have to go to getquip.com/KF to get your first refill pack free. Go right now, getquip.com/KF. EJ writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, like so many of you did.
I issue a challenge to people out there for you're wrong for the time we get to that. I'm trying to find out, XO19, when is the press conference? When is the Inside Xbox?
Well, I just read it.
The, when it is?
Yeah.
It said the date, but what time?
Noon at Pacific, didn't it? Xbox Live from XO19 in London on Thursday, November 14th at noon Pacific for the full on lineup.
Okay.
You're trying to figure out if we're doing a React?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do we think Batman will be there? Probably not. But a lot of people keep asking me. But no, just don't get your hopes up.
It's because they broke you. You're broken now.
Yeah.
At this point, I think if Batman's showing up anywhere, it's Game Awards.
Yeah.
Get excited. Sense.
But again, why the fuck would they tease it 3 months early?
To get you hyped for Game Awards. Aren't you hyped? Look at the excitement. I can feel the excitement radiating off you.
Do you want me to show you how it?
Sure. Do it, tough guy. There it is.
No.
All right, well, that's fair, I guess.
All right, what's his question?
EJ writes in, have you ever enjoyed a multiplayer game but had to stop playing it because of poor matchmaking or a lack of players? I used to love Overwatch, but the matchmaking has gotten so ridiculously long for attackers, I've just given up. It's frustrating. I want to play, but it's no longer get in, get out. I have to either spend 20-plus minutes waiting to find a match, play a different class, or take time looking for a team. This is why I try to avoid multiplayer games.
Amplitude for me. Back on the PS2 days, there was issues. But then even on the PS4 days, I was trying to get a lot of the trophies, and I was having issues because there wasn't enough people. But then I had best friends help me.
Oh.
The power of the best friends.
Yeah.
We can make things happen. No, the game's really hard to platinum, unfortunately. Yeah. Got real close, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. That damn expert mode.
Cowards.
Single
player
campaign.
Yeah. For me, it was DC Universe Online when they had so many problems back right after launch when I was playing for that first like month and a half way back in the day. That like the raids kept crashing, it would take forever to queue up, it just wouldn't work. There was queue lines and stuff, and eventually I bounced. Yeah. But then they fixed it when I came back. Yeah.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 4 also comes to mind.
Yeah.
A lot of issues then.
Yeah, for all that stuff. Yeah. Barrett, you ever give up on a multiplayer game due to poor matchmaking?
Doo doo.
Yeah, I was trying to think about this because I read the question earlier. I can't think of anything because like the multiplayer platform was essentially dead. Like I feel like I'm usually one of the first people to jump ship on like multiplayer stuff. So
yeah. Right. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today. Tony needs help. Tony is Jericho TVB, all one word, on all gaming platforms. Hi, Greg and Tim.
Hey.
So this isn't a traditional squad up. I'm writing in to share my appreciation for players and groups who actively welcome others looking to squad up. I'm a lapsed Destiny 2 player who stopped playing after year one, but came back for Shadowkeep. I barely have any good weapons, only run one character, and am doing my best to get to power level 950. Still a ways off, unfortunately. Let's just say that when it comes to the new Garden of Salvation raid, I'm not a sexy LFG pickup. My good friend Andy has been in a serious Xbox Destiny clan for a few years now. Not only do they game regularly, but they also travel long distances to hang out IRL too. Tomorrow is Extra Life, and during our gaming event, Andy has prearranged a raid group for me with his close-knit Destiny 2 clan mates. They know I'm a novice, but signed up to Sherpa anyway. I would likely never do the new raid, if not for this act of inclusivity and goodwill. I'd like to send a gracious thank you to Andy, his Destiny 2 clan, Il Resto, and every other player out there who welcomes us into their squad. You make gaming fun. Cheers to you. Support Extra Life tomorrow.
That's rad.
Yeah, you know, incredibly rad.
Very cool stuff.
Yes, everybody, support Extra Life tomorrow. Remember, we are streaming 10 a.m. Pacific time, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. The community will be hosted on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can go join the team, kindoffunny.com/extralife, or tomorrow that'll turn into a donate link that you can donate to as you watch and make us spin the wheel and do stupid stuff for your amusement.
You can also get the shirt. It's a really dope shirt.
Kenny
designed it.
Kindoffunny.com/elshirto. Kindoffunny.com/elshirto. Because Nick couldn't read the URL the first time. Hold on, Barrett's bringing it up. There it is. I'll be wearing mine tomorrow. Tim will be wearing nothing if you
nothing
spin the wheel
all.
Correctly.
Spin the wheel.
We ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later. Mark says ACCC is widely accepted to be pronounced as ACCC.
I like that. And she's so Sarah Judge. Is
no, no, Sarah Court. Court.
Sarah Court is also the commissioner. So she's the C of the ACCC. I'm liking this. There's a lot of C's.
Borzen00 says, Tim, C's. Sonic Boom was from the U.S. release of Sonic CD and was the theme song for that, not Sonic Boom.
Like I said, if you listened.
I didn't. It's all new. Because I realized I was, you know, when I was doing it, I think I was doing Frozen. Let it go, let it go. No, I was doing.
Yeah, well, when you first did it, it sounded like the Sonic CD theme song.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the second time you did it, I was like, "That's Frozen." Greg doesn't know what the fuck. Like, I could tell you didn't. You, because that's why I think it was under my breath. I was just like, "I can't believe you played Sonic CD."
No, I didn't play no Sonic CD. Trust me. Come on now. Played Sonic.
You should have Sonic CD. Fantastic. Game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can't trust you.
One of the best.
You like all the Sonic games?
I don't. I like the good ones. Sonic CD is one of them.
I wish I could believe you. I can't. You know what I mean? Remember Sonic the Hedgehog 4 when they were like doing the episodes and stuff?
Fuck you, dude. Do you know how hyped I was? Do you know how incredibly hyped I was for Sonic the Hedgehog 4? Episode 1, they're going to keep giving us them? Then I played it.
What did I want? Why did I want this? I hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Kind of Funny Games Daily for the week ending November 1, 2019. Right now, the BlizzCon press conference is kicking off, so it'll be interesting to see what all happens there. We'll talk about it on Monday. Your hosts for next week are going to be this way. Me and Tim on Monday, me and Imran on Tuesday, me and Fran on Wednesday, me and Imran on Thursday, me and Tim on Friday. Woo! Remember, the games cast will be Thursday, 2 p.m. Myself, Fran, Imran, and Tim. Find out who won the Metacritic Death Stranding bet. That was a pizza party is what Andy says. I'm pretty stoked about that.
A pizza party.
That's what Andy said.
The winner gets a pizza party?
That's what Andy said.
Then we're all fucking winners, dude. Agreed. I love
it. Yeah, I know, right? Exactly.
Oh, with Death Stranding, we really are all winners.
Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.